see you lean and rock with it like a boss. Now let me see you lean and rock like a boss. That's fucking right. Welcome back, guys. You're listening to episode 15 of the DLSS Picks Podcast. I'm your host, D-Love, and damn, do I got one hell of an episode for you guys, unlike anything you've ever heard before on this channel. And if you guys have heard this song at all on my social media this week, then you might have somewhat of an idea of at least one of the major pieces of news that I want to share with you guys. Reached a couple of major milestones potentially with regards to the Tonic, the podcast, and just my goals in general of trying to grow both those businesses. And, you know, I just can't wait. So no time to waste. Of course, I'm going to give you my picks. That is going to be briefing at the end of the episode because, as you guys could tell, it's Friday again, right? I've been trying my hardest to make sure I get them out at least before the fights go down on Saturday. And this week in particular, because as you guys know, my man Bobby King Green stepping up like a gangster on short notice and taking on Islam Makhachev in the main event of UFC Vegas 49. So you best believe I wasn't going to miss putting out an episode this week. And if you guys aren't aware, the man's fucking blowing up right now. Like I kind of alluded to in previous episodes, you know, finally getting his flowers like a lot of other OGs in the game. Dustin Poirier, Masvidal, Charles Oliveira. Even the Diaz brothers took a while to, you know, be appreciated by the greater community until Nate beat Connor. And not a lot of people really even knew the fuck they were besides like the hardcores, right? And it's just awesome for me to see these kinds of fighters, the ones that have always stayed true to themselves and their personalities and, you know, not really change much for the cameras and all that, you know, finally start to get the appreciation and the acknowledgement and the visibility and the push from the organization that they deserve and ultimately the money that they deserve because of that status and visibility, right? So the man is blowing the fuck up. He's gained like 40,000 followers in the last week off the coattails of his amazing victory over Nasrat Haqparast. And then with the news of him stepping in the last minute to take on Islam, you know, people are really starting to take notice. And they were already kind of starting to do that in his last few fights. You know, he had the big win over Iaquinta, and then he goes out there and takes out Haqparast the way he did. So people were kind of starting to finally notice anyways. And then couple that with the quick turnaround against the number one contender that nobody wants to face. He's just an OG, man. Anytime, any place, anybody, like, go out there and just wants to scrap. Old school mentality, right? Like I've talked about in previous episodes. And he's just a G. And I respect the fuck out of him. And I'm blessed enough to know him. Extremely humbled and thankful that he would go out of his way to share about the Tonic. I guess, you know, hopefully for me, it just goes to show you that the product is legit. I let the product speak for itself. And, you know, people are willing to go out there and try to give me a little bit of exposure because they know my origin story and they know that I've been trying to do this to make my way and to carve my own path since losing my job because of the pandemic. And I go through waves of motivation, but, you know, shouts to my girlfriend Nora, who helps me in the times when I'm not nearly as motivated as others. But after the shit that popped off this week, I'm certain I'm going to have a deep reservoir of motivation for a long time to come. So I guess I shouldn't tease it any longer and I should tell you guys what's going on. I'm going to start out by referring back to the intro music. If you guys did hear that at all this week on my social media, then you probably already seen that that is coupled with a video. It's a reel that I made of me and Bobby Green, or Bobby Green in particular, of all the times that he was dope enough to share on his story his opinion about the Tonic, which at one point, he literally word for word said it was life-changing. So that's one hell of an endorsement and more than I could have ever asked for. So got to give a huge shout-out to Bobby Green, and thank you. I'm so humbled. And man, did I hit a grand slam with this one because the timing was just so perfect. You know, fight week in terms of this, you know, really high-profile fight that a lot of people and a lot of eyeballs are on because of the last-minute switch-up and the opponent. This man was kind enough to collaborate with me on that reel, which if you guys know, it posted simultaneously to your page and their page. So with all of this visibility that he's getting in particular this week and for basically 2 days, the reel was the top post. It was the first post on his actual page. Not to mention, it was actually trending under the UFC Vegas 49 hashtag it was like under the top 10 reels. It was before you would slide down, it was like third and then fifth, because I had two of them. I had one on my main page and one on my Tonic page. And they were both trending on the top 10 for like 2.5 days, and they were both on there, not just one, which is kind of crazy. I mean, right now, currently, the reel is at 71,852 plays, reaching 96,064 different accounts. You know, 1,700 likes like that. I don't care about the numbers. I'm not trying to boast. But what I'm explaining is this is the most exposure I've ever gotten by far, growing my following to over 1,000 now on my Tonic page, which is almost double my fucking podcast page, which has been out multiple years longer than the Tonic page. But as you can imagine, with that kind of exposure and it being on his page, like, I had a ton of orders coming in this week, specifically like, hey, I saw your shit on Bobby Green's page. Let me get that. Like, it's been so fucking amazing, and I absolutely cannot thank him enough for that. And believe it or not, that's not even the craziest development that happened this week. Although that was, I would say, probably a linchpin or a good piece of credibility that allowed me to get in the door with a couple other major players that I want to share with you guys. And I am somewhat burying the lead. I'm kind of bursting at the seams. I cannot wait to share all this stuff with you guys, but I'm going to save the best for last. So the second crazy development that happened with regards to the Tonic, again, I think it was piggybacking off of this exposure from The Real and it being on Bobby's page, because one of his followers is the infamous, legendary fucking former bodybuilder and powerlifter CT Fletcher. Fucking, it's still your motherfucking set, right? Fucking, I command you to grow. You guys know who this is, right? And if you have, if you're following his social media, I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but he has sustained an injury recently where his foot is ballooned up. It's literally the size of a fucking, it's bigger than a softball. It's gigantic, and he's got a lot of swelling. Must have saw The Real on Bobby Green's page. So the motherfucker DMs me directly, yo, do you think this can help me with my foot? And if you guys don't know, if I haven't mentioned it, one of my close friends that used to work as the strength conditioning trainer at MMT Fitness, J-Walk, John Walker, he is actually CT Fletcher's nephew. And, you know, he doesn't just go and ask CT Fletcher for shit just because he's nephew. So it's not like I'm going to go to John at any other point in time and be like, yo, let me get in with this famous person just because you know him. Like, I don't use my friends like that, even if they have status or know people, right? If they want to help me out, and if they have that, oh, you know, that opening, that access, and they want to offer it to me, you know, that's all good. I will definitely take it. But even though I knew J-Walk was CT Fletcher's nephew, I never barked up that tree. I wasn't ever going to ask, you know, J-Walk to introduce me or anything like with regards to trying to promote my product, maybe just to meet the damn guy, take a picture with him and be, you know, because he came to MMT one day and I unfortunately wasn't able to be there. So, you know, long story short is that even though I knew I had kind of a indirect connection with him, you know, I was never going to try to pull that string. That's just not who I am. And you know what? I think it actually paid off by the fact that I never did go that route, because this guy DMs me directly. He has his interest piqued directly, you know, with, you know, an unsolicited, what, no one told him to. He saw it, has a need for it, and hit me up. And then I told him I know his nephew, J-Walk, which just even cemented the trust right away. And yeah, basically, I got the man's address up in Compton, and I'm going to fucking CT Fletcher's house. It's still your motherfucking set to give him some Tonic. And, you know, I'm not going to ask him to, but if he decides to give me some exposure, he has 2.2 million followers, and all in the obviously fitness and weightlifting community, all people who could benefit from reducing their inflammation. So that is number two of the three major developments that happened this week with regards to the Tonic. And I am actually absolutely freaking out. And, you know, I'm trying to contain myself and not sound too much like a fanboy. But if you guys know me, know anything about me and my following MMA for as long as I have, then you guys will know that I am a Diaz Brothers mark, right? And when I first set out to make this Tonic back in 2016, I was making it for just myself, some of the fighters at the gym, and, you know, I wasn't really intending on selling it, but I did have the long view of seeing Nate Diaz post literally the exact same product occasionally on his story. And, you know, he's also a fan of green juices. You guys know the Diaz Brothers are kind of like, you know, they skirt the line between vegan, pescatarian, and stuff like that, but I always had the long dream, the long intention of eventually, man, if I can get this product to a Diaz brother, Nate in particular, and they end up liking it, then I've reached the promised land. That was basically my end game with regards to the Tonic and trying to commercialize it, because if I can get the backing of the Diaz brothers and develop a business relationship with that fucking empire, then, you know, there's a potential seven-figure windfall coming my way. Like, products is where it's at, guys. If you don't want to sit there and, like, manage a shitload of people and have a fuck ton of overhead and have to worry about, like, labor costs for services, then products is where it's at. You can make a fuck ton of money off residuals. And really, you know, guys, this is my goal. This is one of those ideas that I had in my head. I thought that I could do it. I've been working my ass off for over 2 years doing it now. You know, paying my rent just barely, you know, having to dip into my savings on months that aren't as busy as others. This and the podcast, the Tonic and the podcast, have literally been my two babies that I've sacrificed years off of my life. Shouts to Joseph, man. Every morning at 5 a.m. when that fool wakes up, he sees that I'm active and he just yells at me. He shoots me another message every morning. Bro, go to bed. So I feel you, bro. I appreciate you, but I'm making up for lost time. I got to grind, and it's hopefully going to be paying off. Nothing is official. Let me state that before I tell you guys what happened. Nothing is official at all. I've not been offered anything. Nothing is on paper. Nothing is official. I just need to make that clear for legal reasons. There's absolutely nothing official, no oral contracts, nothing. I have to say that, right? But let me tell you guys a quick story. Now, I want to preface it by the fact that I do have a business degree. You know, I've ran a couple small businesses, including MMT. And, you know, my whole life I've been, you know, running businesses, you know, whether they were incorporated or not, like, you know, a formerly illegal substance. You know, I used to sell all the time, and I've paid attention. I've learned a lot along the way. And then couple that with being having my finger on the pulse of the mixed martial arts or combat sports community like I do, being a fan for now 25-plus years, you know, it pays to be paying attention and to recognize trends or to recognize opportunities even from afar, even if they're not necessarily opportunities that you could take advantage of. Because over time, you could start to recognize when and if any opportunities are presented to you that you can take advantage of. And that's what I've been trying to do ever since I really started, you know, actually trying to pursue making the Tonic a legitimate business. You know, essentially since I got laid off, I had to figure out something, right? I had to pay rent. Rent never stops. And, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I wanted to make sure that it was still entrenched in that same community that I'd been working in at MMT for so long. Because, you know, after working for corporate America and everything that I did for so long, I just really loved the coupling, you know, something that was a passion of mine with my income and my love for combat sports. And at the same time, not only within the martial arts community, but just in general, the overall market and landscape with regards to people paying more attention to their health, you know, their gut health, just health and fitness and overall wellness. And at least in the communities that I roll in, like a resistance to, you know, big pharma. And there was obviously there's the opioid crisis that's been, you know, taking over America and stuff like that. So there was a larger push to like more organics, more natural remedies, more natural medicines and stuff like that. Obviously, cannabis is, I'm a huge advocate of cannabis. I'm sure you guys know that by now. And so one of the products that was relatively new and becoming a lot more popular was turmeric ginger shots, turmeric ginger lemon shots, right? You've seen Vibe, you've seen Soju, those companies, you know, I had saw that they were making those little 2 ounce shots. And also I was going to like an actual juice place and getting 3 separate shots made of turmeric ginger and getting lemon and putting it together, because obviously at that time I had already been made aware of the benefits myself from Dr. Rhonda Patrick. I had, you know, experienced multiple benefits for my own personal life, but it just really wasn't that sustainable for me because of how expensive it was. I couldn't afford to buy a shot and to have every single day. And, you know, consistency was really where I was starting to get the benefits for my hip. I have hip dysplasia, so I have arthritis in my hip. Helped my stomach, which I had stomach problems for 15 plus years. I had stomach ulcers and just like so many amazing things that I didn't even really expect originally. I started to see those benefits. So I really started to dig in. This was long before I lost my job, but paying attention to the landscape, having my finger on the pulse of the mixed martial arts community and understanding that these guys were charging way more than even what I could make it for, you know, finding my own proprietary methods to extract it. And I definitely used like a considerable more amount of the actual raw ingredients of turmeric and ginger. So I know that my shit's even better than theirs and I could sell it for less. So I knew that I had a foothold and an opportunity that I could potentially, you know, pursue. And originally I was just kind of sitting on it because unfortunately, as you do when you're, you know, just paying your bills and you're barely making rent month to month, you know, it's a grind out there. And I work in an MMT, you know, I made enough to live, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't really making more than that. So it was hard for me to really reinvest in, you know, some other projects or side gigs because, you know, that does take investment. It does not just take investment of your time, but it takes investment of money. So if you barely have enough, it's kind of hard to pursue, you know, greater things. And I wasn't going to be able to go out and get like a business loan or anything like that. At least I didn't believe so at that time. So I was just kind of sitting on it, right? I was making it for myself. I was saving myself some money and I was getting amazing benefits. And, you know, anybody who would listen, if it came up, I'd let them know. But I wasn't really like pushing it on other people. I don't really push much on anybody, actually. So that wasn't really my goal. I would tell the fighters that I, you know, was close to that were having fights coming up and that were in camp, like, yo, if you want to take this, I'll make it for you. I would make it for them at cost. and, you know, they would just take it and recover better, be able to train harder. And I was just, you know, happy to contribute and happy to help. And then there was one time, it was in 2017. It was after I went to High Rollers, the very first High Rollers with my good friend Chris Cullen. Rest in peace, brother. And, you know, at that event, I met Daniel Strauss. If you guys don't know, former featherweight champion for Bellator. And I knew that he was affiliated with Joe Schilling. And, you know, obviously they were at High Rollers, so affiliated with Mighty Matt Stout, Big Lon, Icy Mike, all these guys that I knew were entrenched in the business dealings of the Diaz brothers. And I would have never been in that building if it wasn't for my good friend Chris. So maybe a little bit of a underlining motivation that people really don't know about is that I want to make sure to, you know, I was sharing this idea, this potential, this spark, the very first time I ever thought maybe, because I've seen on Nate's, you know, Instagram before that he's into juicing, he's into turmeric. I've seen it on his story. Maybe there's something to this. Maybe if I can get in front of them, you know, this was a pipe dream at that time. But because I was going to High Rollers with Chris, you know, and because I met Daniel Strauss and I knew he had recently suffered that crazy motorcycle accident that he was coming back for, he hadn't even yet to fight again in Bellator since that accident. I knew it could be extremely beneficial towards his recovery and maybe, you know, be a part of his comeback story and everything. So, you know, I took the opportunity when I met him to let him know that I got something that might help him. And, you know, he went back to Vegas. That was in LA. He went back to his house in Vegas. And I don't know, a few months later, just after exchanging a few messages, he was kind enough to give me his address and I sent him a gallon. This was the very first person I ever sent a batch to. I ever gave a batch to as a form of, you know, endorsing or marketing or trying to just, you know, give it to somebody in the martial arts community and hope to spread some buzz and word of mouth about it. And he did say that he liked it. He did say that he felt like it helped him. But, you know, it just kind of fizzled out. It just really didn't, nothing really happened at that time. And 3 years later, March of 2020, the pandemic hits and I'm out of work and I got to find a way, as I mentioned earlier, to figure out how to pay my bills and how to keep things going and how to, you know, continue to hopefully be able to work in this industry that I love so much. So what did I do? I started a long campaign to try to hopefully one day get my product, D-Love's Turmeric Tonic, in front of the Diaz brothers. That was my goal. Okay, you know what? I've had this thought in my head a couple times. Maybe I thought it was a pipe dream or it wasn't realistic at the time, but now it's shit or get off the pot time. This is a viable product. You've paid attention to the landscape. You know this is an opportunity if you can pull it off. You didn't really have the guts to do it because you didn't have the extra money to do it. Well, now you got no option. Like Mac Noodles likes to say, you never had an option, right? So at that time, I guess I just started to believe that it was possible. And if it happened, that, you know, hopefully that could change my life for the better. And now we're damn near 20 minutes into the podcast, and I haven't officially said out loud that Nate and Nick Diaz are going to get sent batches of my product, D-Love's Turmeric Tonic, to hopefully give the stamp of approval. And, you know, again, nothing is in writing, nothing is official, there's nothing other than the fact that I've been told that someone very close to them is going to send it to them, to their home, I imagine. I'm going to bring it to them so that they can send it, obviously, so it doesn't have to give out their personal information. But let me tell you how that happened. And again, this all ties back in with Bobby Green, and like, I am forever indebted to this man. I don't even think he knows how much, you know, he's done for me as far as this credibility is concerned just by fucking with me, honestly. So, you know, obviously he's fighting this weekend. And if you guys are familiar, speaking about paying attention to the landscape, the clothing company that's partly owned by the Diaz brothers, the Represent company, right? They, you know, they don't just only sponsor the Diaz brothers. Like, they over time have decided to ride with a select few fighters. For instance, recently Brandon Moreno is now a Represent fighter. And Bobby Green just recently, leading up, I believe, to this fight, because he was selling some merch on his own, got picked up by Represent, and he's part of that crew now. So it's like throughout this entire process, you know, I have been doing what I could to interact with and get in touch with and talk to people that are surrounding the Diaz brothers in terms of their business ventures, right? You know, Game Up Nutrition, who Icy Mike is affiliated with, Mike Ember, you know, that's a supplement company. They have, you know, CBD tincture. They have CBD pre-rolls. They have all sorts of products that are, you know, they're supplements. So they're in line with like the health and nutrition industry, right? So that was really my original plan, is like, you know, if they already have the manufacturing and distribution experience, then, you know, if they can end up liking the product, then we can make some magic, you know? So over the last couple of years, I've been doing whatever the fuck I could to kind of get put in touch with these people and at least let them know that I exist. Let them know I have something that I'm pretty sure Nate would be all about. Obviously, I understand you don't know me. Obviously, I understand, you know, I'm not in a position to just kind of come to Nate's house and be like, hey, man, check this out. So, you know, when the time is right, I exist. Get to know my name, because eventually I'm going to be standing in front of you and telling you all about it. Like, that was basically what I was saying to these people. And of course, like, the nicest and least annoying way I could possibly can, but with also reminding them sometimes, I even literally wrote this out sometimes, like, sorry, bro, don't mean to annoy you, but I know that a closed mouth doesn't get fed. And so I got to take my opportunity, you know, and I apologize if I'm being annoying, you know what I'm saying? And my mentality is that if somebody, you know, finds that annoying, then that's the way that they see it. But if somebody doesn't find it annoying, it's because they're going to appreciate the grind, the resourcefulness, and the hustle, and, you know, taking the risk and just, you know, putting yourself out there. So the people that would, in fact, you know, not shine away or block me or not be interested or tell me to leave them fuck alone, people that, you know, didn't do that, then I felt like, cool, then they hopefully appreciate that I'm trying to do whatever I can to, you know, find a way. So back to represent the clothing company, obviously they picked up Bobby Green, and they actually were the first company to invent like the fight capsule. Obviously with the situation with the UFC and not allowing for like outside sponsorships on their fight kits and stuff like that, unless you're crypto.com nowadays, but you can't, you know, wear any sponsorships during the weigh-ins, during the walkouts, during the fights. It's all Venom. Venom is the sponsorship. Used to be Reebok, now it's Venom. And that's a whole nother conversation for another time. But that being the case, like in the overall landscape, like they were smart and innovative, and they made what are called like fight capsules, which is essentially any of the fighters that they, you know, represent, right? But leading up to each individual one of their fights, they do a limited edition run of merchandise that really are kind of like tied to that fight and that fighter. So, you know, for instance, for this fight camp, they got some sick-ass Bobby Green merch. And even though I'd already talked to Mighty Matt occasionally through DMs, Icy Mike, Mike Ember, you know, Big Lon, I'd put myself at least on the map to these guys. They know that I exist, right? Even though I did all that, it never struck me to potentially talk to somebody at the merchandise company I represent. Like, and for me, I know that might seem like it's like left field to you, but anybody that was affiliated and anybody that was involved in like business ventures, you know, I was trying to get in touch with or close to in some way. Again, I'm, you know, being very straightforward. I'm being respectful. Try not to be annoying. Like, I'm not being deceitful or anything like that. But, you know, that was just kind of my strategy. You know, eventually, if every single person that he works with knows I exist, if the somehow conversation comes up, the other one's going to be like, what the fuck? Yeah, that guy's been DM me too. Oh, what the fuck? Yeah, me too. And if Nate was standing in a circle of 10 guys that were all saying that, I'd be like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, that was kind of my thought process. You know, I'm a big fan of Gary Vee. If you guys have listened to him at all, he's just like, go for it, man. Just fucking sit on your phone for 8 hours a day. If that's what you're trying to pursue as a legitimate, viable business, like, you need to work 8 hours a day to try to pursue, you know, networking and things like that. So, you know, that's where I got the motivation to, you know, just attempt it. Just try to get in touch. We are very fortunate because the MMA community was born through the internet, and fighters aren't necessarily as huge of stars, at least not yet, except for Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor, Jorge Masvidal, and a few others. But yeah, so we are very fortunate as fans because of the way the industry works, that we actually have a little bit easier access to these people and through social media. But ironically, even until the point where I actually decided to place an order and buy, you know, I wanted to support the homie and some dope ass merch, but I wanted to buy some of the Bobby Green merch. Even until I got to the process of doing that, I didn't even realize that. I knew it was somewhat local, but I didn't know exactly where. I didn't even realize that Fullerton is where the headquarters is for it. And if you place an order in your local, you can, you know, get free shipping by just going there and picking it up at will call. So I think maybe it was some good karma, because even until I was about to literally hit purchase and place the order, it hadn't struck me that, oh yeah, maybe I should say something to somebody there, right? And, you know, Nora will deny until the end of time that she didn't call me like an idiot for putting in the actual like box that, you know, you give like special instructions about sizes or anything like that. I literally used that box to say, yo, I have a turmeric ginger recovery tonic that I know Nate will love. I've already talked to this person, and this person. Like, you know, I'm coming to pick up a shirt. I'm going to drop off a sample. And in my mind, I was going to show up. It was going to be some high school kid, you know, working there, filling orders that like didn't read it, couldn't care less, and was just going to take it, maybe throw it away. Like, who the fuck knows? But I show up, I stand there for a minute, guy walks up, and I'm like, hey, brother, picking this up, da-da-da-da. When he grabs my bag, I could see on the, like, receipt that's on the bag, like, my whole paragraph I wrote. So I was like, bro, I see that, you know, I don't know if anybody had a chance to read that, but, like, honestly, like, here's a batch of turmeric. I know Nate's not in town, but I know he's a fan of this stuff. And, you know, maybe if somebody's here that likes it, and if it gets brought up in conversation, at least they could say, oh, yeah, I've had that. That's good. So I know it's a long shot, but whatever. You know, I'm just trying to cover all my bases, which I think I also wrote in the caption there, too. Trying to cover all my bases. But the guy's like, all right, cool. Well, my brother, the owner, he's in an interview right now, but I'll give it to him. And, you know, if he likes it or if he wants to pass it along, you know, whatever. And I'm like, cool, man. That's awesome. Thank you. And so grab my stuff, go out front to leave, literally get caught like trying to take a fucking selfie with my bag and like the fucking picture of Nate on the window. Not even going to lie about that because that's how it happened. And the guy's like, hey, yo, you have a second? My brother wants to talk to you. So I'm not going to reveal any of the other details other than the fact that he did agree to pass along a batch to the guys so that they can try it out. I sat with him for a little bit over an hour. We had an awesome conversation. And, you know, I'm completely, like, stunned and in shock. And I didn't even go there expecting anything other than, like, to give this to a high school kid that'd probably throw it away. And then I left there achieving my original goal, which was to make sure that they at least got the product because the product speaks for itself. I know it's good. And I'm at a loss for words. 26 minutes in, and all I do is talk, but I'm literally at a loss for words. So cross your fingers. We'll see how it goes. But that's it as far as my story about how this week has been extremely crazy as far as developments with the tonic. And, you know, I apologize for the last minute show. It is, again, now 5:15 in the morning on Friday morning. I've spent all night doing this. Just the way I operate, it's unfortunate, but I make sure not to miss. And I wanted to make sure to let you guys know what has been going on with me this week, even if it was mainly that. And now we're going to go over to the picks. Last week, I did. I bounced back from the week prior. I went 10-2, so 83% success rate. My confidence ratio for the top six was actually, ironically, 83%, and it ended up the actual was 100%. We got all six, so happy about that. Year-to-date average is now 71%, so we're up there a little bit over four, not quite five out of the six. And the year-to-date underdog average is actually, we went 2-1. We got two out of the three underdogs. So that's going to increase it to, I think, 40%. So doing a little bit better with the underdogs and finally got all six in the top six. So let's keep that going. And complete disclaimer, this is other than the main fights, obviously I've been focusing on the Bobby Green one and there's a couple other really exciting ones that are going to be really competitive potential fights of the night. I haven't really taken much look at the card, guys. So please forgive me and, you know, buyer beware this week, but just kind of taking a look at it pretty much right now as far as the lower ones on the prelims and just going to rattle through them again, buyer beware. I didn't do extensive tape study like I did previous weeks, but sometimes off the cuff is good as well. So we'll see how that goes this week. But in typical DLSS fashion, we're going to start at the bottom. And I'm, of course, on Tapology as far as the order. Two underdogs, 11 fights total. First one, Victor Altamirano, going with him over Carlos Hernandez. Second one, going with Ramiz Brahimaj over Michael Gilmore. Then this was a banger, first banger of the night. I am going with Jonathan Martinez over Alejandro Perez. This is the first underdog of the night, Terrence McKinney over Ferris Zion. This one's also going to be a banger. Then going with Josiane Nunez over Ramona Pascal. Ignacio Bahamandez over Rong Zhu. Gregory Rodriguez over Armin Petrosian. Armin Saryukian over Joel Alvarez. Ji-Yoon Kim over Priscilla Cachoeira. Misha Cirkunov in the co-main event over Wellington Turman. And you already know I'm riding with Bobby Green in the main event. Confidence ratio, I'm going with 50% for this event. Top six, Armin Saryukian, Ramiz Brahimaj, Ji-Yoon Kim, Bahamandez, Rodriguez. And I put Jonathan Martinez on there, but Alejandro Perez is a fucking hell of a dog too. So that one is going to be a scrap, but he's at the bottom. But those are my top six. And I'll go 5 out of 6, so 83% as far as my confidence ratio for the top 6. But that's it, guys. I got to get the fuck out of here, get some sleep. Got to work tonight with Mac Noodles. Make sure to check my Instagram Saturday morning for any finalized picks in case there's any last-minute switches. But enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll definitely be back next week. And I most definitely will be keeping you posted with the whole tonic situation and what pops up with that. So once again, thank you guys so much for stopping by. Always appreciate when you're here. But until then, we'll see you next time.